This one doesn't make quite as much sense because, okay, if you moved up to Pittsburgh to be closer to family and you liked being around family there, like, why would you leave the vaunted Steelers organization for no other reason other than to be close to some more family out there? It just seems odd to me.
Like, glad Kubiak's gone.
What's going on in Pittsburgh?
They're dead.
They're just dead? You think so?
The family.
Oh, the family in Scranton?
You want to know why? That's because a lot of their family has died.
Oh.
Oh, damn.
Well, thanks.
Things just got very awkward on the radio program.
It's nothing to do with the Steelers.
I was going to ask, what's the family in Pennsylvania thinking?
So what is this?
The Steelers as a team and as a contender. Mike Munchak's family in Pennsylvania has passed away, and so thus he was able to move to Denver.
We never really got clear whether John was joking on that or not.
I think he was serious, 100%.
But he didn't give us any details. Did they all die in a barn fire, or like of old age, or what the hell happened?
Seemed like old age based on context clues.
So it might have been some of his older family members? Okay.
I think so.
He said they died. That sounded like a tragedy. It didn't sound like just typical, like, hey, he had some hardship in his life.
I guess I'm going to feel really bad if it was some kind of accident.
Some kind of tragedy. Well, I would have preferred if he would have furthered on there. He just said, they died.
Yes. McClain being matter-of-fact about certain things is really interesting to deal with.
Right. He just moved on from it. And he just said it, and he just stopped talking.
Yeah.
Well, there's, like, an assumption of knowledge. Like, I think most people in Houston they're probably somewhat aware that the Texans went after Munchak a few years ago.
Offensive line coach of the Steelers, who just took the job with the Broncos as an offensive line coach. He made a lateral move because he wasn't hired as their offensive coordinator. And obviously Mike Munchak, the great Houston Oilers football player.
And so people would remember that, or may remember that, the Texans went after him, but he went to the Steelers, and one of the main reasons was he went for family.
Mm-hmm. So it's not dead.
It's not like most people would know that something happened to his family in the last couple years.
Yeah. I feel like John could have handled that more.
Delicately.
More tact. It was I had said it. That wasn't the second time. That was the second time I had brought that up. I feel like he could have just maybe said, well, you know, yeah, it was for family reasons.
And he
was from Scranton, PA originally, and, you know, those older relatives are no longer there, where now his daughter's out in,
I would have liked an explanation because Detective Paul is now on the case. And listen, I'm talking entirely with the tongue in my cheek here, but, I mean, Mike Munchak just leaves after a bunch of deaths. Like, what's going on there? And he just goes to Denver.
It's just an easy way out.
Yeah.
Munchak basically said, like, oh, I'm 58 years old. Certain things are important now. I want to be out near my daughter and my grandkids and all that stuff, which I totally respect. I like that he's that good as an offensive line coach that he could basically write his ticket. And
anyway,
I think if he wanted to, he could get coaches fired. He could call up and be like, hey, I want to be your O-line coach. And they're like, all right. And then you walk down the hall and you fire your current offensive line coach. It'd be pretty cool.
Oh, I think
he would never do that.
I think he definitely could.
He's a decent human being. Munchak was, I hated playing against Munchak's offensive lines when he was the offensive line coach in Tennessee. They were so well coached. And this is what makes a good offensive line. It's the teamwork between adjacent linemen. The center and the guard working together, the guard and the tackle working together. There's you can have one butt kicker, and that's great and fine and all, but he can get exposed when the guys next to him aren't that good. So you can only be so good as a single offensive lineman. It's the ones, and Tennessee did a great job with this when Munchak was their offensive line coach. He had a lot of nondescript guys, with a couple of really good ones, but a bunch of nondescript ones that would make you think you're winning on a certain down, and then all of a sudden you're getting swept away from the play. They would disguise everything really well. They would just frankly do all the little things right. That's what makes him a good offensive line coach.
Landry said something on his show yesterday that bothered me. Not in any way other than just the substance of it, because I think he and John were having a good conversation about, and I agree with the original premise of this, which was basically that, you know, McClain has thrown out these ideas of like, all right, the Texans have three picks in the first two rounds. They're going to take two offensive linemen and a quarterback, and we're going to solve this whole thing. And I think they're both like, all right, hold on a second. It doesn't quite necessarily work that way. And Landry continued and said this about building the roster into 2019.
They're going to draft the best player available at the position they need most.
I think they need more than they think they need.
Well, yeah, I do too.
I think they need a receiver. If
I think they need defensive line, they need a running back, and they need a receiver.
If Will Fuller is so important
in that
to
order,
you,
by the way,
if Will Fuller is so important to you that your offense, that the excuses are that your offense isn't the same when Will Fuller goes down, mm-hmm. then receiver needs to be right up there with defensive line or offensive line and cornerback.
I respectfully disagree with that.
Don't be respectful.
Well, just because I don't think it's necessarily a terrible sign that if a guy like Will Fuller goes down, it changes the scope of the offense.
First round pick.
Yeah, he's a first round pick. And here's the big thing. You've got 53 guys on the roster. You're never going to build the perfect NFL team. I mean, newsflash, the Texans have a lot of needs. They're not going to fill every single one this offseason. You don't have to be a perfect team to win big and win in the postseason. This to me, now listen. They need health at receiver, and they need to think about that in this offseason. But right now, what we have right now, like a medical analogy, you've got a couple of mortal wounds. What's going on with the offensive line and cornerback, they are mortal wounds. They are things that you go to the emergency room or the urgent care for. These are things that need to be fixed right now, otherwise you may die. The receiver spot, it's more like you've got a pain in your leg, could go away, may not, it's been going on for a while, so you might think about going to your primary care physician or an orthopedist. I don't know if that's the right term, yeah. But you get the idea. Mm. These two positions, quarterback and offensive line, they are mortal wounds that need treating immediately.
You take that, that's the hole in the dam. Like versus like the receiver, depth at wide receiver is like, oh, the grass hasn't been mowed on top of the dam in a while. But the hole in the dam is offensive line and defensive backfield.
Exactly.
And you've got to take care of those. And the other thing too is, I think sometimes people look at the draft and without, it's easy to get, it's tempting not to think too specifically about it because you'll start saying things like, well, no, they gotta go out and they've got to get an offensive lineman, they've got to get a defensive back, and they've got to get a wide receiver, and they've got to get a running back. Well, that's great. You can draft all those things, but just recognize that your chances of getting a bona fide starter in the third round are about 33%. You know, in the second round, it's about a 50-50 proposition. No, it's 33%. Like, it's about a third of those guys end up being bona fide starters. So, one out of three, you'll be okay. But that's not something that guarantees you're going to go out and get that in the draft. You want to address it, but, and you've only got three picks in the first two, I say only three picks in the first two rounds. It's really, really hard to get good football players.
And given the Texans' history in the third round, that's why I think I look at the 33% and I'm like, you know, across the NFL, I guess it varies team to team. If you're trying to maybe perhaps look at this the same way that Landry's looking at it, we'll go a little bit further, peel back the onion and, okay, look at Will Fuller's contract and look at the fact that this is the fourth year of a 5-year contract and they have the fifth year option and they would have to pay him, I think, $10.1 million or something like that.
Sounds
in
right.
2020. Well, if another injury happens, what do you do on that front? And I mean, what is your decision making process going into the season in terms of deciding whether or not to pick up the fifth year option? I think you have to make that happen, but if you are looking at the future of your team, I do think that this is something that should be an idea in the second round, a possibility in the second round, definitely not a priority, but say the corners and the offensive linemen that you like are off the board at that point. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to think about it. To go off the medical analogy that you made, Mike, I think it's an incurable disease with no major symptoms. It's going to be an issue down the line. Lyme disease-esque.
incurable.
An incurable one that's hard to diagnose and, yeah.
It's there and you know, and you're always concerned that Fuller and QT are going to get hurt. And you can go into this season with the gamble of, okay, well, that's not going to be a problem this season just based off of odds or rehab that they do this offseason.
I wish you hadn't brought up the third round pick history of the Texans. Cause I always want to defend it because they have had some good ones out of there.
But Justin Reed was really good this past season.
New sheriff in town.
What's that?
New sheriff in town.
Right, right. So we have to start over cause it's the Rick Smith third round picks where he did have some good ones. But just like as a brief survey to remind everybody, let's start let's pick an arbitrary point because look, Brandon Brooks was a good one
in
2012.
He's gone.
Posey wasn't. So that's he's gone. But it was a good pick.
Right,
it was a good pick at least. But then you go up to 2000. Let's start with 2014. Nice, clean little 5-year history. Lewis Nix. Hey, he could have been a first rounder. CJ Fedorowicz eventually came around, then had his head bashed in. Let's see. Braxton Miller. Where's Braxton Miller right now?
Is he on a practice squad?
I don't know.
Sonic Sam Montgomery.
Oh, I skipped over Jalen Strong.
Devere Posey.
Yeah, Sam Montgomery. His college coach is shocked that they tried to make him an outside linebacker.
Les Miles, of all people.
Braxton Miller is on the Eagles.
Braxton Miller is on the Eagles or Eagles practice squad?
Practice squad, but now a futures contract.
Now he's a futures contract for the Eagles. But yeah, Jordan Akins, a Brian Gain pick, was pretty good. Deontay Foreman, we'll see. Lots of promise there. That's a Rick Smith pick. We'll see. But it's just
Martinez Rankin, so it's gotten better.
But even there, even with some of those dreadful choices, the Texans, the difference was, there were some good choices, but then the ones that were bad aren't even in the league anymore.
Flameouts.
They were flameouts that the Texans thought they were getting something over on. Like, that was what was so disappointing about them, was that, hey.
Oh, this guy fell to
Sam
us.
Sam Montgomery. Remember we were talking to Reggie, the linebackers coach, Reggie.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking
and
about.
And he was talking about, I like Reggie a lot, even though I can't remember his last name right now.
The white guy.
He was talking about how Sam Montgomery, a lot of people had him as a first round pick.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I guess, but then he fell for a reason, I suppose.
Old white Reggie.
I can't remember Reggie's last name. What the hell is his name? I'm literally picturing him as we speak right now, and I can't think of his last name.
Yeah, he's a white dude.
We'll delve into.
He wasn't particularly pale.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.